Well, you know, it's Joe Biden's birthday today. He's 78 years old, which will make him the oldest president ever in the long history of this country. Well, we can kind of promise Joe Biden that there are certain things that he will get for his birthday, mainly how he'll be treated by the nasty media. We're almost sure that no reporter is ever going to yell at Biden or at his press secretary the way that a reporter yelled at Kayleigh McEnany today.
When will you admit you lost the election?
When will you admit you lost the election? Another reporter asked the same thing, a little more respectfully.
Kayleigh, at what point does the president concede the race and allow for a proper transition to the Biden team?
So right now there's ongoing litigation. There are, what we know, 74 million Americans that voted for this president. That's more votes than any president has gotten in history. It's really extraordinary. And there are very real claims out there that the campaign is pursuing, 234 pages of affidavits publicly available in one county alone. That's Wayne County, and two individuals on the canvassing board there that have declined to certify. So these are real claims. These individuals deserve to be heard. This was a system that had never been tried in American history, mass mail-out voting. It's one that we have identified as being particularly prone to fraud. So those claims deserve to be pursued.
Well, and as it happens, yesterday there was a big news conference with Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell, the attorneys representing Trump in these in various litigation involving vote totals. Rudy put on quite a show. At one point, his hair dye was streaming down his cheek as he was sweating under the hot lights. But he's, you know, alleging fraud along the lines of that you've heard here from me, for instance.
So I guess the best way to describe this is when we began our representation of the president, we certainly were confronted with a very anomalous set of results. The president way ahead on election night. 700,000 or 800,000 in Pennsylvania. Somehow he lost Pennsylvania. As we started investigating, and what emerged very quickly is there's not a singular voter fraud in one state. This pattern repeats itself in a number of states. Almost exactly the same pattern, which would suggest that there was a plan from a centralized place to execute these various acts of voter fraud, specifically focused on big cities.
Now, he just said there, suggesting there was a centralized plan. You know, at that point, you're assuming like somebody at the DNC or the Biden campaign or some centralized plan was saying, go out there and cheat so we make sure Biden wins. And you certainly hope that Rudy has some evidence of that.
Big cities controlled by Democrats, and particularly focused on big cities that have a long history of corruption.
Yeah.
The number of voter fraud cases in Philadelphia could fill a library.
Yeah, okay.
Just a few weeks ago, there was a conviction for voter fraud, and 1-2 weeks before that.
Right.
And I've often said, I guess sarcastically, but it's true, the only surprise I would have found in this is if Philadelphia hadn't cheated in this election.
Okay. You hear that from John Gibson every day, but, you know, you got any – could you how about a little evidence, Rudy? You're the lawyer.
You could say the same thing about Detroit.
Okay.
Each one of these cities are cities that are controlled by Democrats, which means they can get away with anything they want to do. It means they have a certain degree of control over – certainly control the election board completely – and they control law enforcement. And unfortunately, they have some friendly judges that will issue ridiculously irrational opinions just to come out in their favor.
Okay. Now, I get it. But, you know, we're all looking for some evidence, something we can hang our hat on, Rudy.
The 50 to 60 witnesses we have for the way they were treated and not allowed to inspect
the ballots. In all cases, they were put in a corral so far away. Did you all watch My Cousin Vinny?
Vinny?
You know the movie? It's one of my favorite war movies because he comes from Brooklyn.
Yeah, yeah.
When the nice lady who said she saw, and then he says to her, how many fingers do I got up?
Uh-oh.
And she says, three. Well, she was too far away to see it was only two. These people were further away than my cousin Vinny was from the witness. They couldn't see a thing.
Hmm. Well, you know, this is not getting great reviews. Tom Cotton, who's certainly on Rudy's side when it comes to, you know, let's find some evidence to back up these allegations of fraud.
I think where we are is the point that we need the evidence to be adduced in court. Rudy Giuliani and the president's lawyers have multiple lawsuits filed around the country. We're to the point, though, where this is time not for politicians or for press conferences. That was during the election. This is the time for evidence in court.
That's Tom Cotton turning up his nose at the performance at his news conference yesterday. On Fox, the White House reporter, Kristen Fisher, who's young and beautiful. You know, you get it? She's young and beautiful.
Well, that was certainly a colorful news conference from Rudy Giuliani, but it was light on facts. So much of what he said was simply not true or has already been thrown out in court.
Well, I don't think it's up to you to declare something not true, Kristen. And pro tip, when something is thrown out in court, the next thing that usually happens is it gets appealed to the higher level. And if it gets thrown out there, using your phrase, thrown out, it gets appealed to the next highest level. Eventually, it winds up at the United States Supreme Court. So don't get snippy on us. Just because you think you have found a report that something was thrown out of court doesn't mean it's the end. And of course, Obama had to weigh in.
Is our democracy really under a realistic threat here?
Look, Joe Biden's going to be the next president of the United States. Kamala Harris will be the next vice president. I have been troubled, like I think every American, whether you're Republican or Democrat or independent, should be troubled when you start having attempts to block, negate, overturn the people's vote when there's no actual evidence that there was anything illegal or fraudulent taking place. These are just bald assertions.
Overturning the people's vote when there's no evidence that anything illegal has taken place. That describes the 4 years of Democrats in the Trump presidency. It describes them to a T. They never seem to realize when they cast aspersions like this, they're really talking about themselves. New York Times did it today as well. The unsigned editorial, Republicans supporting Trump, remember, lies have a long half-life. And they say, lies have a long half-life, and Mr. Trump's misinformation campaign will undermine the democratic legitimacy of the Biden administration. About half of all Republicans surveyed by a new Reuters poll said they believe that Mr. Trump had rightfully won the election. A poll from Monmouth University released Wednesday found that 77% of Mr. Trump's supporters believe that Biden won through fraud. You change out the names. Trump for Biden, Democrats for Republicans, in that paragraph, and that describes to a T, the four-year campaign by the New York Times and the Washington Post and NBC and CBS and ABC and MSNBC and CNN to undermine the presidency of Donald Trump. It was fine then. It's a horrible crime now. A horrible, horrible crime. How could you? So, you know, pardon me if I am not all that excited about the high and mighty claims of undermining the American democracy now being made by Democrats about about Donald Trump insisting that this vote be inspected closely. Now, a little reportage here that might mean something. Dana Bash at CNN is a reporter. I'm sure she's a Trump opponent. They all are. But I find her to be a fairly even-handed reporter most of the time, or maybe some of the time. And I thought her observation here was pretty interesting.
Right. Well, a source who is in contact with the president says that what the president knows is that in his heart of hearts,
the 50 is that he to 60 will not win. Witnesses
will. We've heard that from other sources as well. But what this source added was that what the president is saying pretty explicitly is he feels that the Democrats, when the president won in 2016, tried to make his win illegitimate by the Russia investigation, the dossier, and everything that went along with it. And so he is using their playbook. That's his thinking. And he's, you know, I use the word payback. This is not what my source used, but there's no other way to put it.
I think she's right. He probably is engaging in payback. They did this to him for 4 years. He'll do it to them for 4 months. Yes. Okay. You reap what you sow. And she also pointed out that, you know, there's not very many people who will do what Rudy did. He's one of the few.
The president wants somebody out there fighting for him. And the president wants somebody out there going down whatever rabbit hole they feel comfortable doing. And Rudy Giuliani is pretty much the only one left who will go down those rabbit holes.
Well, okay. Number one, and by the way, well, her first bite was playing. I'm sorry I pushed the wrong button and the voice of Rudy came up for a second. But number one, it isn't just the president who wants, you know, wants to extend this process to the pain of the Democrats. It's 74 million voters that want somebody out there fighting for them. They believed in Trump. They love Trump. They know the Democrats hated him. I mean, nobody voted for Biden. They voted against Trump. I've said it before, and I continue to believe it. This was a love-hate vote. Did the hate Trump votes outweigh the love Trump votes? And it kind of looks like right at the moment, pending any proof Rudy might offer, that the hate Trump votes did outweigh the love Trump votes. That seems to be where we're at. Now, there was at this news conference yesterday another person, Sidney Powell. And those of you who listen to my radio show for years know that I used to have her on a lot. Like her a lot. And she pulled a rabbit out of the hat with General Flynn. She essentially proved that he was railroaded and innocent and turned back the prosecution of him. And she's a really good lawyer. And she was describing in several things in the news conference yesterday. One of them was how phony ballots were handled in places like Philadelphia and Detroit in order to give Biden the win.
That's when they came in the back door with all the mail-in ballots, many of which they had actually fabricated. Some were on pristine paper with identically matching perfect circle dots for Mr. Biden. Others were shoved in batches. They're always put in a certain number of batches, and people would rerun the same batch. This corresponds to our statistical evidence that shows incredible spikes in the vote counts at particular times, and that corresponds to eyewitness testimony of numerous people who have come forward and said they saw the ballots come in the back door at that time.
Now, okay, I actually believe some of that stuff went on because that's how it's done. But she made another allegation, and Tucker pointed out that this other allegation that she made was huge, really huge.
All of which brings us to the bombshell at the center of today's press conference. That was delivered by former prosecutor Sidney Powell, who has also served as General Mike Flynn's lawyer. For more than a week, Powell has been all over conservative media with the following story. This election was stolen by a collection of international leftists who manipulated vote tabulating software in order to flip millions of votes from Donald Trump to Joe Biden. The other day on television, Powell said of Trump that when the fraud is finally uncovered, quote, I think we'll find he had at least 80 million votes. In other words, rigged software stole about 7 million votes in this election.
Now, what? Okay, so that's a very big allegation. This is what Sidney Powell actually said.
One of its most characteristic features is its ability to flip votes.
Now, I got to stop her here and just reintroduce this bite. She's talking about the software used to count votes electronically.
One of its most characteristic features is its ability to flip votes. It can set and run an algorithm that probably ran all over the country to take a certain percentage of votes from President Trump and flip them to President Biden, which we might never have uncovered had the votes for President Trump not been so overwhelming in so many of these states that it broke the algorithm that had been plugged into the system. And that's what caused them to have to shut down in the states they shut down in.
Okay. Now, Tucker noted that she has been making this claim for a few days and that he has been pressing her for evidence to back up this claim, which she has refused to reveal.
What Powell was describing would amount to the single greatest crime in American history. Millions of votes stolen in a day. Now, to be perfectly clear, we did not dismiss any of them. We took Sidney Powell seriously. We simply wanted to see the details. How could you not want to see them? So we invited Sidney Powell on the show. We would have given her the whole hour. That's a big story. But she never sent us any evidence, despite a lot of requests, polite requests, not a page. When we kept pressing, she got angry and told us to stop contacting her. When we checked with others around the Trump campaign, people in positions of authority, they told us Powell has never given them any evidence either, nor did she provide any today at the press conference. She never demonstrated that a single actual vote was moved illegitimately by software from one candidate to another. Not one.
You know, so what are we supposed to think about this? You know, I think Tucker was a little pissed off that Sidney Powell goes out and makes this allegation and then won't do anything to back it up. On the other hand, and for all of the, you know, Kristen Fishers of the world and Tom Cottons of the world who are demanding evidence, the Rudy and Sidney Powell both say, look, the news conference yesterday, which took an hour and a half and was highly derided, was tantamount to an opening statement in a trial. You do not put the evidence forth in a opening statement. You say what you intend to prove and that the evidence will be in the trial. Fair enough, but this isn't a courtroom. And for anybody that for this claim that Trump is had the election stolen from him, for it to have any credibility with the public, they really need to go beyond allegations and show some evidence. Now, right now, they're saying what the evidence is the 264 affidavits signed by witnesses to various shenanigans going on in Philly and Detroit and elsewhere that are sworn under oath carrying the penalty of perjury. And that's fine enough. That is evidence. Those are witnesses. But they're not subject to cross-examination yet. And therefore, they really can't be taken at face value. Look, I wanted Trump to win. And I'm positive they cheated in Philadelphia. They just do. And I'm positive they cheated in Detroit. Once again, I cite the fact that those two members of the canvassing board wouldn't certify the election because there were more votes than people who signed in to vote. And the assurance from the Democrat Secretary of State in Pennsylvania that was a clerical error just doesn't carry much weight with me. Got it. But there's a big, big, overvote in favor of Biden in the very states he needs to win to carry the Electoral College. And that's how you win. And it kind of looks like Biden is winning. And there's now a report in the New York Times that that Trump is having Republican legislators into the White House to talk about, can we seat electors from your state that will vote for me instead of Biden, even though it appears Biden won your state? And that's kind of not how we do things.
If 4 years ago we saw exactly this type of machination from Democrats, where President Trump had won a state or two, and then Hillary Clinton and her campaign said, well, the people have spoken, but we're not really sure because Russia maybe they were involved. That's a popular belief on the left. If the Clinton campaign said, let's maybe see what the legislatures might be able to do to put different electors in there and maybe put us in the White House, and Barack Obama's going to summon some Democrats from these states to say, hey, guys, what are you doing in your states? Let's see what we might be able to do here. I think conservatives would rightly have been in the streets screaming their heads off, and I would have been right there with them, because that's not what we do in this country. That would be a shocking departure.
I agree. It's Guy Benson. You know, the electors are supposed to represent the vote of the people. And if the vote of the people is certified, not as the New York Times says, declared by the media, but certified in the state by the Secretary of State and the canvassing boards and the rest, then Biden won. And we're going to get, you know, 4 years of Biden saying crazy stuff and getting away with it, like he did yesterday when he talked about a meeting with governors, and he meant Democratic governors, about the COVID crisis.
We talked a lot about with the governors about what the immediate needs are. We're going to employ the Defense Reconstruction Act to be able to go out there and dictate companies build and do following things.
Okay, now, Joe Biden said, we're going to enforce, and he said, we're going to dictate. And I can guarantee you nobody screamed at him about that. And nobody's going to scream at him about that. I mean, none of those reporters trailing around. You're going to dictate. You're going to enforce. Make companies do what you want to do. I mean, that's what the Defense Production Act is all about. Trump employed and so forth. But he didn't say to them, you know, I'm ordering you to. He said, we need this. Will you build ventilators? And we're going to pay you. And they said, yeah, sure. But Trump wants to, I mean, excuse me, Biden wants to dictate. He's not going to get yelled at about that. There's not going to be somebody screaming at him the way they scream at Trump for 4 years. The vaccine coming. People are a little worried about the safety of the vaccine because it was developed so quickly. Governor, I just gave him a raise. Anthony Fauci says,
and I hear a lot now when we made these announcements this past Monday and then 2 Mondays ago about some reticence of people. Well, did you rush this? Was this too fast? Is it really safe? And is it really efficacious? the process of the speed did not compromise at all safety, nor did it compromise scientific integrity. It was a reflection of the extraordinary scientific advances in these types of vaccines, which allowed us to do things in months that actually took years before.
Now, you know, what he's talking about is this is a new type of vaccine. It's a DNA vaccine that activates defenses in your cells, different than the old style vaccine. Now, I can't explain it well, but it is different. You know, are people going to take it? Yeah, probably. Am I going to take it? Yeah, probably. Not day one. Maybe a month or two later. You know, see if people are growing green things out of the top of their heads or something. But yeah, I'll get around to taking it. I mean, you know, so this brings up what about Thanksgiving? And the former head of the CDC, his name is Dr. Frieden. He's on TV with somebody, God knows who, recommending how you should conduct yourself at Thanksgiving.
If you go over to a friend's house, mask up the whole time you're not eating or drinking, and speak softer, because louder voices, shouting, screaming, singing, spreads the virus a whole lot more.
What he said was, when you're at Thanksgiving,
speak softer.
Speak softer. Whisper. It's going to be the whispering Thanksgiving. And, you know, there's a nurse in Texas who was interviewed yesterday, and she's talking about, you know, you really do want to wear that mask.
Yes, we're frontline here in the hospital, but the real frontline is on the streets, in the grocery stores. Wash your hands, wear your mask, stay away. I promise that the little bit of time and the little bit of effort it takes outside of here is worth it, because once you're here, wearing a mask is better than having a tube down your throat. I promise.
Promise you that. Rachel Maddow has been missing from the air for a few weeks, evidently. I didn't know that because I don't watch her show. But evidently she was taking care of her wife. And she is issuing a warning about, you know, taking a chance on getting infected.
Whatever you have calculated into your life as acceptable risk, as, you know, inevitable risk, you know, something that you're willing to go through in terms of this virus, because statistically, hey, probably it will be fine for you and your loved ones. I'm just here to tell you to recalibrate that. There's no room for you in the hospital anymore. And so we've got more people in the hospital right now than we've had since the beginning of this epidemic. It's gone up 50% in 2 weeks. Right? There isn't room for you in the hospital anymore, broadly speaking. So for the sake of your country, you really can't get sick and need to go to the hospital right now. And the only way to ensure that is to ensure that you do not get infected.
You know, I don't often agree with Rachel Maddow, but I do in this case. And, you know, once again, my situation is a lot better than most people's, because I'm in this 30-acre compound. You know, it's got a fence around. It's got a gate out in front. It's locked. And the only people who come in here are the ones that I, you know, let come in here. And I don't go anywhere except the grocery store. And when I do, I'm masked up. And, you know, when we come back from the grocery store, as Susan did yesterday, everything goes into the garage and the staging area gets wiped down before it's brought into the house. And, you know, I have a pretty good situation as far as COVID goes, but, you know, just urging the rest of you who may live in apartments or in houses and neighborhoods where people are close to you, you got to be careful, as this is, I know the death rate is very, very low as compared to, well, from age group to age group, it's very low. Tom McClintock, who is a congressman from Roseville in Northern California, I think he's the congressman of my friend Bill, who calls in here once in a while. He stood up on the floor of Congress to actually praise the decision of Governor Gavin Newsom to go out and go to that restaurant that we talked about yesterday and for which Newsom has taken a lot of criticism. It was tongue-in-cheek praise, but it was praise to make a point.
Mr. Speaker, I rise this morning in defense of Governor Gavin Newsom, who recently defied his own idiotic COVID edicts as he partied at one of the few restaurants that's not yet been forced out of business. I defend him because he was doing what we once all did in a free society, make our own decisions over what risks we're willing to run and what precautions we're willing to take according to our own circumstances to protect our own health. Yes, COVID is a nasty bug, and 250,000 Americans have died while having it. But this isn't the bubonic plague. The CDC's best estimate is that if you're under 49, your chance for surviving COVID, if you get it, is 99.92%. Even if you're over 70, you have a 94.6% rate of recovery. 40% who get it don't even know they have it. And yet we've allowed our officials to ruin our quality of life over it, destroying countless businesses, throwing tens of millions into unemployment, robbing our children of their educations, and shredding our most cherished rights as Americans. Governor Newsom.
Yeah. Well, that's the other side of it. I mean, the statistics are speaking your favor, even if you do get infected. And so, you know, it's a question of whether you want to take the chance or whether you want to follow the advice of Dr. Frieden and
speak softer.
Speak softer at Thanksgiving. So let me check the mail. A couple of days ago, I talked about my dog Cisco, who's laying here beside me right now. He had hurt himself. And I played this little bite because I had to edit it out of the show. I thought it was just was too hard to listen to, but I did play it the next day to tell people why I was late because I had to take him to the vet.
Yeah. Geez.
Oh, buddy. Oh, buddy, I'm sorry. He was in pain. He jumped out of the machine we drive around the ranch. It's called a mule, Kawasaki mule. He jumped out and I hurt his leg. And so I had said I'm going to take him to the vet. And I got a couple notes about this. Robert wrote me, you told us you were going to take the dog to the vet on Wednesday. No word on the Thursday podcast. Your dog's health update is more important than details on that piece of crap Newsom's dinner. Well, you're right. And I did take him to the vet and they looked him over and palpated him and do the things they did. He didn't have anything that was broken. Apparently he just, strained something. He was in pain that day. He hasn't yelped since then. He seems to be fine. He's running around like he always does. And I'm left to conclude that he has a very low pain threshold. Big oaf. I got another call from an email from Ron. My cats, Ava, Gina, Margaret, Scarlett, send their best to Cisco. They would give him a soothing four-tongue massage if they could. We know he's in the best of hands with you and Susan. I will call and bitch soon. Ron in Etna, California. Got a note from Michael about Angry Rich. The world needs more Angry Rich. Mike in Washington, Rich, call again. People want to hear from you. Let's see. What else we got? This from Dale. Hearing Angry Rich tell you to wear a ponytail reminds me of a quote from Joseph Epstein. There comes a time in a man's life when he has to decide to grow up or pull his long gray hair back into a ponytail. I'm there. The trouble is, I already did the grow up, and now, you know, there's no reason for me to grow up. Nobody will hire me. Nobody wants me. So, yeah, hair's really long. Haven't gotten any job offers yet, and don't expect any. It's just, let's just face it, at this point in my life, it's not going to happen. So I'm really not going to be worried about looking good for a potential employer. Then I got this note. Gary. This is Gary. When I referred to our lovely Governor Whitmer as Zoftig, I questioned whether Zoftig was the right word, because I've only seen her in interviews, which is like basically from the shoulders up. He said, when I referred to our lovely Governor Whitmer as Zoftig, I was going by the definition of pleasingly plump. Believe me, I looked it up before I used that word. I know who I'm writing to. I've said before that she is not unattractive, and my conservative friends don't like it when I have a secret crush on old Gretchen. Now, regarding your Mothers of Invention story, that was because I played the Mothers of Invention for a birthday song for one of the members. Motherly love. And I told a story that when I played this record in the presence of my dad, he just went nuts. Get that crap off the record player. Dun, 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 dun. So Gary continues, regarding your Mothers of Invention story about your dad, it reminded me working in the yard on our new home with my dad and my brother back in the mid-60s, grading the lot, preparing the yard for grass. My brother had a Fender Bassman amplifier that we figured out how to hook the stereo to. We set it out on the front porch and played the Mother's Freak Out album, which is where that Motherly Love song comes from, and serenaded the whole neighborhood. When Mom came home from shopping, she got out of that old Mercury and was horrified by the music. So our dad was pretty cool. Mom, however, did not mind the Iron Butterflies in Gotta Da Vida playing during dinner. I think she liked the drum solo. Keep up the good work. I hope Khalil is okay. That's Gary in Michigan. Let's see. This is Steve. I'm really beginning to suspect a crap load of voter fraud did occur. Think about it. How many times in history has an incumbent president lost an election, but his party gained seats in the House? What is the percentage of people splitting their votes for down ballot candidates? This doesn't make sense. Good point. Mike Boring writes me again. All right. So he wrote the other day, and he was mad because it took all day to get the podcast posted. There's some kind of problem I don't really even understand. He said, don't let my attempt at humor and sarcasm misconstrue my greater appreciation for you and the podcast. I use Podcast Addict to listen to the show, and it is a fantastic app for that. It shows me every time you attempt to upload the show. There were like four upload attempts. That is the point I was trying to make. Thanks for everything, John. I didn't know about Podcast Addict and that he could do that. I'm kind of blown away. There are times where I'm trying to get that thing uploaded and I'm clicking over and over and over and it doesn't work. And I have to call in Josh and say, what the hell's going on? And he usually has no trouble fixing it. So the bitch box number is 859-544-2766.
Hey, old John, it's me. That's black.
Yeah, it's time for a call from Khalil, and he did call. He's been missing a couple of days, and so Khalil.
Hey, old snowman. What's up, y'all? Friday, we made it to this motherfucker, and it's been hard as hell. Whole bunch of midnight, late night driving, trying to get this shit out here, man, but, you know. My job is what I do.
Yeah, that is the shortest Khalil call in history. He is a truck driver. He does work very hard. Works late hours. And he realized the call was too short, and he called back.
Sorry about that, snowman. I lost the damn signal right there. But man, we got so much bullshit. It's just kind of hard to believe that all this stuff is really going to happen like it's happening, man. Look at the Democrats, how everybody's coming out of the woodwork and telling fucking Biden, you owe me, you owe me. Yo, he is nothing but a straight sucker. Did it mean so much to you to be president?
Yeah, I did.
Outside of the fact that you're going to sell, your family's going to sell this country out. But did it mean so much to you that you owe everybody, that you have everybody that's sitting here looking at you saying, yo, you owe me something? What good are you, man? Please, somebody play this to Joe Biden. You being a pure sucker. Now, the only thing I can think that you can do outside of that is just walk back your promise to everybody and just pretty much be like, you know, fuck all y'all. I'm not doing nothing. Then you're going to wind up having the FBI take you on a trip to Dallas. So you ain't going to fuck off everybody. You gotta pay up. And this whole thing, man, this whole thing stinks to high heaven. Daggone, New York is shutting down all the schools. Well, the city anyway. And they proved, and even Fauci came out yesterday and said, look, you ain't going to cut off the schools. Kids are the safest people on the planet. And now, the trifecta of all this bullshit you got the teachers union. I mean, yo, are you looking at some of these people that are sitting up here making the rules, man? Mm-hmm. Is this teacher union guy, is this a man or woman?
Oh, no.
Transgender or pedophile? I don't know what the hell it's supposed to be. But
oh, God.
And I guess the last thing is, what, I was just thinking about it. The last thing we got going on is, I forgot it just like that. Oh, well, I guess it won't meant to be talked about. The vaccination. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of rumors going around. I got to do some more research, and I hope you do also, Gibson. You know, I know you done got old and lazy is the word I'm looking for.
Careful.
Don't want to do a whole bunch of research. Snips of information and call it a damn day. And I can't say I fucking blame you. But,
thank you. This is my attitude.
I mean, if you're going to just sit around and not doing nothing all day, you might as well just go up there with Rich. Hang around with him at the hospital.
No.
He's acting like he's recovering. He ain't recovering. You had to recover from liver surgery. No. You had to recover from all the liquor that you done drunk.
Well, it's...
So let's don't forget that it's the weekend, and so everybody have fun. go drink till you liver up, and then send Rick a picture, Angry Rich a picture of you just getting fucked up, and then right next to it have a bottle of water waiting on him. He loves the water. Now, anyway, what's water without scotch, right? Oh, man, fuck it. Jafar, let's go. Yeah, John Gibson Radio Show, the podcast, baby. Yeah, what? You said he owe you how much?
Yo, John, you better talk to Jacor, because he trying to put your business out there in the street saying you owe him a whole bunch of money. I'm not going to get into which right now. Mm. 2021, he says the check better appear in the mail. He wants his 3 cents a show.
Yeah, I told him, man. All right, you know what time it is, baby. It's Friday. Strip club. Beam my black ass up.
Look up in the sky. If you see him flying by, you know that's your boy Khalil. Johnny boy, peace. I'm gone. Have a good one, Snowman. Mm.
Okay, it's birthday time. I had a tough decision today. A lot of days I go through the birthday list and there's nobody in here I want to deal with. Today there's a lot. I mean, for instance, Joe Walsh from the Eagles, 1947. 1946, Ray Stiles from the Hollies. 1946, Dwayne Allman, the Allman Brothers. 1942, Norman Greenbaum, Spirit in the Sky, remember him? But what I eventually had to pick was Dr. John, Mac Rebenek, Malcolm John Rebenek. Born in 1941, died in 2019, and famous for a bunch of songs, among them this one, Right Place, Wrong Time.
Wrong train. I took a right.
refried confusion. Dr. John's birthday today, Mac Rabinac. So look, have a good weekend. Try not to get the COVID. Write to me at host@johngibson.com. Follow me on Twitter at Gibson Radio. And be sure to call the Bitch Box at 859-544-2766. 859-544-2766.